This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
All right, so here is the title of our message, which is part of our series, and it is titled Seeing the Invisible. That's the title of our series, and this is part three. And we are focusing, of course, in this series about several aspects of what it means to live seeing the invisible. And, you know, we don't see the invisible with our physical eyes necessarily, because they look at the natural, the visible things. But with our heart, with our faith, we see the things that are invisible, the things that are divine, the things that God wants us to see. And so that's what I'm focusing on in this series, to remind us that God wants us to see the invisible with the eye of faith, with the eye of our heart, with the eye of our spirit. And he wants us living by the invisible, because that's what impacts and affects the visible world, our natural world. Amen. The supernatural impacts the natural. Praise God. Because God is supernatural, and God is in the supernatural realm, and that's what he wants us to see. And so that's what we're doing in the series. Now, you know, as I've said through the series in the last two parts, is that the reason why God has not provided us with an exact image of himself or of Jesus or of the Holy Spirit is because he wants us to focus on who he is more than what he looks like. I mean, we have many other religions, we have many other cults in the world today, and some of them have been around for thousands of years too, and they all have images of their God. You know, they all have places where they go and bow down. And, you know, oftentimes I watch those things and I think to myself, that's a man-made statue, regardless of the fact that it could have been made hundreds and thousands of years ago. It's still made by someone else like me, like us. And, you know, for us to go and worship that and bring offerings to that, and, you know, it's just so weird for me. And of course, God has a lot to say about that. The very first commandment out of the 10 is to have no other gods but him, to make no graven images, to have no statues, no pictures, no physical representations of any god, but to worship him from our hearts. And so when we think about all of that, that's why I think God has not given us an exact image of himself, of Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't want us focused on those images and turning our worship and turning our devotion to those things. He wants us to rather worship him with the image that we have in our hearts of him. Amen. And so that's one of the reasons why. And I believe that God wants us to believe him, to believe in him from the heart. Not the mind, not the emotions, not the will. And all those things play a role in that, but they all should be affected by the heart, first and foremost, by the core of our being. Amen. That's where he wants us to believe him from. Why? Because that is the most powerful way to believe. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, when you believe something from the heart, you're really believing. Isn't that so? You know, you can believe from the mind, but you can change your mind. You can believe from your emotions, but emotions come and go. You can make a choice to believe, but you can also then choose not to believe. Yesterday, Helen and I were driving somewhere, and as we were driving, we were listening to this young man who, you know, had Christian parents. And he came from a land of communism, and they managed to escape. And, you know, there was a church family that helped and received his parents, and they came one by one. And his parents received salvation in Jesus and raised him as a Christian. And only to hear this radio talk show, you know, on the show, where he was sharing how he has chosen to walk away from Christianity and to no longer believe the Christian beliefs. Because, and then he explained his whole little rant. It just made no sense, and my heart was grieved. Even though I was getting irritated with what he was sharing, I was actually grieved, because what that tells me is that he never really received salvation in Jesus. He never really had an encounter for himself with God. And so he was blaming his parents, he was blaming the church and the believers around them, and how they forced him into this, and how his parents gave him no choice but to, you know, pound the Bible on him. And I'm thinking, wow, this generation is so misguided with so many different things, as every generation is. But you know, at the end of the day, when we believe from the heart, we will even die for it. Praise God. And you see, that's what God wants. He doesn't want us to believe from the mind. He doesn't want us believing with our emotions. He doesn't want us believing, first and foremost, from our will, our freedom to choose. He wants us to believe, first and foremost, from the heart. And that's what I want to share with you today. That's what I want to dig into a little bit today, as far as what it means to believe from the heart. What does it look like? What does God say about it? Let's have a look at some examples of what it means to believe from the heart. And so I am going to challenge us today just to look at our faith, look at our believing, and see if we really believe from the heart. Now, my goal is not to make anyone feel guilty or bad or terrible, or, you know, make you feel like I'm self-righteous and I have faith and you don't, and make you question everything you believe. That's not my heart at all. You are here with us because you believe, but I want us to upgrade that. I want us to take that to the next level. I want us to just crystallize that so we can believe stronger, believe more, and thus have greater results and have greater efficiency in our believing and our confidence in God. Amen. So that's what we want to do today. So we are going to dig into what it means to believe with a heart, because that's the most powerful way of believing. And so let's begin by reading Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, reading from the Amplified translation here. So Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord. Watch this. With all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. So notice right there, divinely inspired by God, the writer of Proverbs says, trust and rely confidently in God with your heart, with all of your heart. And he says, in order to do that, don't rely on your insight and understanding. In other words, your senses, your mind, your emotions, your will. That's what he's talking about. So we see here from Scripture that we need to believe from the heart. We need to rely on God from the heart. And I think that's one of the reasons why so often we find Christians and believers who say, well, you know, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and they're discouraged, and they say, oh, you know, I've tried trusting God for my healing and it didn't work. Or yes, I've tried that, but it didn't work. One of the main reasons why I personally think that oftentimes believers struggle with faith, with believing, is because they try and believe God intellectually with their mind. They try mental faith. Or they try and believe God with their emotions. You know, they hear a speaker do a great job in pumping them up and giving them a very positive believing message. And while the hype is on, they feel like, you know, emotionally driven to believe, so it's emotional faith. And then they think, well, you know, once the emotion fades, once the intellect weighs down, they don't see results right away. And so they think, well, see, that doesn't work. And so this is why I believe in Proverbs, God tells us that he wants us to trust him and rely on him with our heart, from our heart, and not anything else. So it shows you there that believing with a heart faith, if I can put it that way, is the most powerful way of believing, without letting our mind and our emotions get in the way. Amen. And so that's an important thing. So heart faith is what we are after then. And that's what I want to share with you today, as I said, is about heart faith. Amen. Now, let's have a look at something that we looked at in the series, and I want to just bring it in with the subject today. John 20, verse 29, reading from the New Living Translation first. This is Jesus speaking to Thomas, remember, after his resurrection. That's the resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, Thomas doubted. He didn't want to believe. And he said, unless I have physical evidence, in other words, unless I, you know, put my fingers in the wounds in his hands of the nails, and unless I put my hand on the side where he was pierced, I am not going to believe. In other words, Thomas wanted to believe with physical evidence. He wanted to believe with his mind, with his emotions. And so Jesus appears to him, lets him do that, but then says this and makes the following statement. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. In other words, you believe because you have had physical evidence. And then watch what he says next. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. In other words, blessed. What that means is favored. Favored are those who believe without physical evidence. In other words, blessed are those who believe without, or should I say, believing in the invisible, believing the unseen. Amen. So you can see again that there's a greater blessing in believing without having physical evidence. That's what it means to have faith. And that's what heart faith is. I mean, right there in that portion, even though Jesus doesn't use the word heart in that translation specifically, that's what he was referring to. That's what he was pointing to. And the Passion translation of that verse actually brings that out from the original. So let's have a look at that, because it's going to show us what he means by believing here. So John 20 verse 29 from the Passion translation. Jesus responded, Thomas, now that you have seen me, you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but have believed in me, watch this, with their hearts, and they will be blessed even more. In other words, they will experience something greater than you who sought physical evidence. And that's the reason why you believe. There are those who will not have physical evidence, but they will believe, and there's a greater blessing that comes upon them. And notice the Passion, how it defines it, that it is believing with the heart, believing in the heart. Amen. So it behooves us to find out what it means to believe with the heart, what it looks like. And so to believe with the heart, and I'm going to make some statements to try and help us crystallize that and understand what it means to believe with the heart. So pay close attention, okay? To believe with the heart means, first and foremost, to trust God beyond the intellect. In other words, reasoning and understanding. We don't have to have everything explained and made clear to understand. I don't have to understand everything about it, but I choose to believe and trust God beyond my mind, because my mind is not my heart, right? Now, you may say, well, I don't know if I can do that. You do that every day. You flip the switch in your house or at work or even in your vehicle, your car, and the lights come on. Electricity comes on. You don't understand how electricity works and how it's made. You don't always understand where it comes from and how it's manufactured, how it's produced. But yet, you enjoy the benefits of it, knowing that if you just flip a switch, you are going to have light and electricity to make your food, for example, right? So that right there is you having faith in something without getting your mind and your emotions involved in it. So we all do that. And that's what it means to believe with a heart, is where the mind doesn't have to be fully convinced to know that it works, right? I can put it that way too. To believe with a heart also means, or you could say, it is a conviction that goes beyond mental approval, acknowledgement, or agreement. I remember when I was in Bible school, there was a young man who just insisted that he had to be, it had to be proven to him mentally. We had to bring in facts and evidence to convince his mind before he would believe. Well, that's not hard faith. And if that's the kind of faith you want to have, mental assent kind of faith, it's always going to fail. And so that's not what believing in the heart is. And then to believe with the heart also means to embrace something that God said, that God reveals at the core of our being. In other words, on the very inside of us, in the very core, where we perceive, where we sense, where we, some people call it a gut feeling. Some people call it your knower. You know, it's just in my knower, I just know. Or you just sense it deep on the inside of you. Well, that's what it means to believe with the heart, is where you embrace it deep inside there. It's beyond our mind, beyond our emotions. To believe with the heart, or should I say heart faith, is faith that is rooted in trust, not sight. And that's what Jesus was saying to Thomas. Your faith needs to be rooted in trust, not what you see. That's what it means to believe with the heart. Heart faith is to believe without physical evidence. In other words, if we see it in the Bible, if we see God says something, then we believe it and we embrace it. We don't have to have proof. You see, heart faith takes God at his word. You know, when you are convinced of something, or you know that you haven't done something, or you've done something, and you tell someone, well, you expect them to take you at your word. If you say, yes, I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock, or yes, I can, I have $100 for you, and you give them your word, you expect them to believe it, because you expect, you believe, you know that you have integrity, and you expect them to believe it. Well, you see, it's the same thing when it comes to God. If God said something, we should take him at his word. And how much more so because he is unlike us who are human, descendants of fallen Adam, who can fail. He doesn't fail. Amen. And so that's some idea of what it means to believe from the heart. Now, another portion of scripture that echoes that and shows us a little more, with a little more clarity, different things about it, is Hebrews 11 verse 1, a portion that we all know pretty well. Watch what it says here from the King James first. It says, now faith, in other words, believing, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So again, it's talking about the invisible. But there's a few things that I want to point out to you in that verse as we have it on the screen there. Faith is not the same thing as hope. Hope always deals with the future. I hope things work out. I hope this will happen. I hope they will show up. It's always about the future. Whereas faith is in the now, because it says, now faith is. So faith deals with the present. So you believe now, but you are believing for what you are hoping for. Now, to make that even clearer and expand it and help us understand that verse a little bit more, let's read that one again from the Passion Translation and watch how it breaks it down and helps us understand it a little bit clearer. So here it is, Hebrews 11:1 from the Passion Translation. It says, now faith, in other words, believing, brings our hopes into reality. You see, some people think because they have hope, they have faith. It's not the same thing. It says, and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. See, believing it now is what's going to bring it into the now. It says, it's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. In other words, when you believe what you don't see, but you have hope that it will happen, And because you are believing it now, it is actually going to happen now. Pretty powerful, right? And so that's what it means to believe with the heart. That's what it looks like. And one of the illustrations that I want to share with you today to, you know, kind of just illustrate what we've discussed so far about what heart faith looks like is by sharing the illustration of a compass. You know, they come in different shapes and form. And today, in our day, time and day, and well, how does it go? In our day and age, there's more digital electronic compasses than there are actual compasses with a needle that point north, right? But they do the very same thing. It's actually quite phenomenal. These digital compasses that we have now, they just blow your mind how they work. I mean, they are literally just tiny little microchips that is a compass, a digital compass that is almost, well, it is in every device in the world. If you have a smartphone, there is a digital compass in your smartphone. Did you know that? And so let me tell you a little bit more about that, because a compass, in essence, what it always does, it's designed to always point north, because the magnetic fields of the earth, you know, have this northern point. And so if you take a compass, it will always point north, and thus you can figure out where to go regardless of where you are, regardless of the terrain, regardless of whether there are landmarks or not to help you find your way home. If you have a compass, you will always know which way to go, because the compass will always show you where north is. Is everybody with me today so far? Okay. So we understand what a compass is, right? It does a great job in helping us find our way. Now, we use compass technology all the time. I guarantee you right now, as I said, if you have a smartphone, you have been using compass technology every single moment that you have that phone. Let me break it down a little bit more. So all smartphones have what is known as this magnometer. It's a digital compass. It's a microchip so tiny that it's in your phone, built into your smartphone, your iPad, your computer. All digital devices have them, okay? Your map app, if you use the map app on your phone to go to an address that you've never been to before, or to find your way home from somewhere, your magnometer helps you find your way home. It's a digital compass. You know, on your phone, your smartphone, when you go to the map app, and even sometimes on the top right, it shows you the little icons that are active on your phone, there's always a little arrow. It's either a white arrow or it's a blue arrow. That is driven by the magnometer, the digital compass in your smartphone. That's how it shows you where north is, because that's what that little arrow is doing right there and then. And so a digital compass, what it does in essence is that it detects the Earth's magnetic field, and it's able to tell you where north is. For example, you have location apps on your phone. I know that most of us use the Find My Phone app. All of that is driven by the magnometer, the digital compass on your phone. It knows where north is, and thus the app itself and the programming in the app is able to tell you where you are against the north and how to find your way home and where your phone actually is. It always uses the compass on your phone. Then we have things like, you know, those augmented reality glasses where people play these games and they feel like they're in that game. Those AR devices, augmented reality devices, are able to do that because they have magnometers, digital compasses built into them. So they're able to balance you and balance the picture, the program, the game, and help you enjoy it, but keep you from falling and hurting yourself. It's a magnometer that does that phenomenal job. It's a digital compass. And so If you play games with an AR device, the magnometer helps you play and enjoy that game. And then you have fitness trackers. How do you think you're able to track how much you rode your bicycle and where you went and how many miles you covered and how you ran and walked and so forth? How many steps you took? Guess what? The magnometer, the digital compass, helps your phone, your device, and the apps achieve all of that information. Then you have weather apps that tell you the exact weather where you are right now. The magnometer, the digital compass is at work. Then you have emergency apps on your phone. If you click your phone so many times, if you're in emergency, it will tell emergency services exactly where you are. The magnometer, the digital compass is at work. Now you may be saying at this point, okay, I get it. I get what a how valuable a compass is and how we actually use it without even realizing it. It's very involved in our lives. Well, that's because the point that I'm trying to make is that we all trust compasses blindly and wholeheartedly all the time. Isn't that so? When is the last time you picked up your phone and you gave even a second or a third thought to the fact that you have a compass built in, a magnometer, and it's doing something for you? How many times did you do that? Probably most of us haven't even thought about it. But yet it works for us, and it does a great job, and we get results from it, right? Well, you see, in the same way, that's what believing with a heart looks like. It's where we take God at His word and trust Him blindly and wholeheartedly because He said so and because He's there and we just believe that it's going to happen. I hope that I did at least somewhat of a good job at helping you understand and realize with an illustration that that's what it means to believe with a heart. It's like you don't give it a second thought. You don't question it. You don't have to be mentally convinced or anything. You just pick it up and it works for you. You just believe God's word and it works for you. That's what it means to believe with a heart. That's what it looks like. Amen. So faith in the heart is like walking by the compass of God's word and not by the confusing landscape of your circumstances. Can I say that again? Faith in the heart is like walking by the compass of God's word and not by the confusing landscape of our circumstances. Amen. That's what it looks like. You see, to believe in the heart means to trust God and His promises, even when logic says otherwise. Now, the unbelievers, the doubters, the deniers, the in-betweeners will tell you, are you just delusional? You see, this is where this whole faith thing just goes whack. It just goes crazy. And I'm going to be like, really? When's the last time you gave your magnometer a second thought? When is the last time? I mean, it's delusional. It's delusional not to think about it. It's delusional not to think, when I pick up my phone, I hope my magnometer works. I hope that it's showing me accurate. No, you just blindly and wholeheartedly trust it because you trust the manufacturers. We have the manufacturers of manufacturers, the manufacturer of manufacturers, who's our God. How much more should we trust Him? Amen. You see, and that's what it looks like to believe with a heart. Even when logic says otherwise, even when the medical report says otherwise, even when the best of the best say otherwise, God is greater. He knows. We believe Him and we take Him at His word. Amen. That's what it means to believe with a heart. So at this point, someone may say, well, how can I know if I believe from the heart? How can I for myself prove that? How can I have an idea that I do believe from the heart? Well, he has a few little pointers, two little pointers to show us what it means and what it looks like for us personally, or should I say it's an assessment. It's a way for us to determine if we really are believing God from the heart. Well, heart faith produces obedience and transformation. Wouldn't you agree? If you really believe something from the heart, you are going to do what God says, and you are going to be transformed by what God says. Isn't that so? I mean, it changes how we live. That's another way of putting it. If you really believe from the heart, it changes how you live. You live by what God says more than anything else, more than what fact says, more than what you see says. You live by the invisible. Amen. That's what it looks like. You see, hard faith is more than just agreeing with God's word. It is yielding to it. It is being transformed by it. Did you hear what I said? Believing with a heart is more than just agreeing mentally with God's word. It is actually giving yourself to it, yielding to it. It is being transformed by it. In other words, it's going to change me because I believe it. Amen. That's how we can know if we really believe it from the heart. In other words, we yield to what God says, and we are transformed by what God says, and it's changed how we live. Amen. So, to just back that up, that's exactly what James chapter 2, verse 17 tells us. From the Amplified Translation, watch this. He says here, so too, faith, or you could say believing, if it does not have works, in other words, if it doesn't have actions, if it doesn't have transformation, if it doesn't have obedience, if it doesn't yield to it, if it's not transformed by it, to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative and ineffective. In other words, there needs to be action to what you believe. In other words, you will be transformed by it, you will act on it, you will yield to it, and it will be how you live. It changes how you live. Is somebody with me today? Okay, so just to clear that up a little more, mind belief is agreement without commitment. Isn't that so? You see, so if there is no commitment behind what you say you believe, then it's just mind belief. It's not heart belief. Because heart belief, as we've just seen, and as I've just shown you, it has commitment to it. It has commitment behind it. So if I believe that God heals, I'm going to be committed to that. And I'm going to live by it. I'm going to yield to it. And I'm going to be transformed by it. And it's going to change my life. So yes, I hear what you have to say. And I appreciate it. I know you've studied years to tell me what my condition is. But God's word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed and I am healed. And that's what I yield to. That's what I believe. Amen. You see, it's not denying facts. It's not denying the natural things. But it's letting what God says rise above that and influence that. Amen. You see, head knowledge can admire truth, but heart belief commits to it. There's a difference between admiring truth and committing to truth. And I think oftentimes those two are confused. Even when it doesn't make sense, we commit to the truth. Amen. You see, emotional belief, on the other hand, is often shallow and temporary because emotions come and go, right? Yeah. Emotional responses can be real, but feelings fade. Whereas heart belief endures beyond the high of an emotional moment. And that's absolutely what it looks like. You see, heart faith ultimately persists no matter what. Amen. Let me end off by sharing two quick examples with you. Hebrews 11 verse 27, and I'm going to read these two from the Passion Translation, okay? Notice, this is talking about Moses. Holding faith's promise, Moses abandoned Egypt and had no fear of Pharaoh's rage because he persisted in faith. In other words, in believing, watch this, as if he had seen God who is unseen. Can you see Moses doing everything I've shared with you so far? He had heart faith, And that's why he was willing to leave all of the wealth of Egypt and the power of Egypt. Remember, he was raised as a prince of Egypt. He could have inherited all that. He could have been rich all his life. But because he believed God, the invisible God, and he believed the invisible promise of God, he walked away from it all and suffered with the rest of the people of Egypt because he believed from the heart. See, he had the action. He had the belief. He had the conviction behind it. It changed the way he lived. He yielded to that. And he was transformed by it. Amen. See, there's proof that what heart faith looks like. You see, Moses made a life-changing choice and decision based on God's invisible promises. Amen. And that's what heart faith looks like. Here's another example. This is of Noah. Hebrews 11, verse 7. It says, faith, in other words, believing, opened Noah's heart. See that? Not his mind, not his emotions, his heart. Opened Noah's heart to receive revelation and warnings from God about what was coming. That's talking about the flood. Even things that had never been seen. But he stepped out in reverent obedience to God, see, there it is, and built an ark that would save him and his family. By his faith, the world was condemned. But Noah received God's gift of righteousness that comes by believing. Notice, heart faith at work here. He took God at his word. He believed him. He did what God told him to do. He had conviction, he yielded to it, he was transformed by it, and he followed what he believed to be God's promise. Both were invisible. God was invisible to Noah, his promises were invisible to Noah, but he believed and took God at his word. See, that's what heart faith looks like. Amen. Now notice, it says that he would even believe what had never been seen before. Well, no one up to that point in existence of the earth had seen rain. No one had ever seen a flood. No one had ever seen the earth flooded with rain because it didn't rain. So it was an uncommon thing. Noah took God. Imagine that. We know what rain looks like. We know what floods look like. Because we've seen them. We may have experienced them, sadly. But imagine living in Noah's time and being with Noah and never actually had seen rain. It had never rained on the earth. There was never a flood on the earth. Let me show you this real quick. We're going to rabbit trail and then we'll come right back. Genesis 2, verse 4 to 6. Watch this from the New King James. It says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, watch this, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown, watch this, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth. And there was no man to till the ground, watch this, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So this is what it looked like in Noah's time. Rain, it had never rained. There was no such thing as rain to them. And there was no such thing as flood because of it. And it says the way God watered everything on the earth is through a mist that came up from under the ground and watered all the plants and everything else, all the vegetation. So this was Noah's experience. And this is why he had never seen rain. He had never seen a flood. Yet God gave him his word and told him that there was going to be rain, there was going to be a flood, and he needed to build an ark so he and his family could be safe and anyone who would believe, but no one else would believe, so they were condemned, and only Noah and his family were saved. You see, that's what heart faith looks like. We don't have to have someone else who did it, someone else who says so. It may be a first, but God spoke to you, you see it, you believe it, you know it, you take him at his word. Amen. That's what hot faith looks like. And Noah's entire life became the testimony, a testimony of living by the invisible word of God. Amen. Powerful stuff. So believing with the heart is more than just agreeing with truth. It is trusting God so deeply that we live by what we cannot see. Amen. God's word says, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed, and we are therefore healed. We're going to believe that. Amen. As we see the situation and the circumstances change. God says that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he will always protect us, that he will always provide for us. There are so many promises in the word of God, over 7,000, and we can take him at his word and believe them and hang on to them. Amen. You see, hard faith is trusting God so deeply that we live but we cannot see. And so like Moses, maybe you are facing hard choices. But I want to encourage you, keep believing and trusting God from the heart, and you will see his blessing and favor. I really believe that. Or maybe like Noah, maybe God is asking you to do something that doesn't otherwise make sense. And my encouragement to you is, keep trusting God and believing from the heart, and I know that you will see his blessing and favor. Because the examples we see in Scripture all did that, and they saw the blessing and favor of God. And God is not a respecter of persons. What he did for them, he will do for you and for me. Amen. And so heart faith is what we're really after, as I said. And because heart faith sees and lives by the invisible. Amen. Because the invisible is not really unreal. It is very real, more real than the visible realm. And it's able to impact the visible realm.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.